harvest, gifts to the food bank, and Matthew 25. How do they all fit together? What we're trying to do once a month on our evening service is trying to pick up a contemporary issue and just explore what the Bible says. And this is one such thing. What does the Bible say about the environment? What is it that we should be doing as Christians? And so I'm using this passage as a springboard. I think, would be quite happy describing ourselves as an evangelical church, where the scriptures are important, where we believe what the scriptures tell us, and we believe that to have eternal salvation, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Is that right? Few agree with me. That's lovely. Others are just still processing that. But imagine that day of judgment. And this image in Matthew 25 of Jesus separating the goats from the sheep, like a shepherd parting them. I wonder whether we'd be on the goat side or the sheep side. I find this passage quite disturbing for two reasons. Judgment. I really don't like the idea of judgment. After all, the Bible says if you put your faith in Jesus, you are set free. So where does judgment now fit in? And it's also got this emphasis on good works. And the Bible says, if I could take the helpful passages that help me in my argument out rather than the whole Bible, because we don't want to get the whole Bible affecting us, we are saved by faith, not by works. So let's hold on to that passage for a moment, shall we? We are saved by faith, not by works. That gets us out quite neatly, doesn't it? We're okay. But wasn't it James that said, faith without works is dead? And I find that I'm falling back into this trap that I don't like. And as such, as a minister, I've been a minister now preaching for some 30 years, I got to confess I have rarely preached on the whole thing of works. Because as an evangelical Christian, I like to speak about the word and salvation by faith and all these sorts of things. Yet the works, well, it makes me uncomfortable. Because I was walking this week. And as I walked, I met with Jesus. Because from this passage, the person who was homeless could have been Jesus. I met with Jesus this week as someone came for a food voucher for the food bank. How did I respond? Well, these words of Jesus make me uncomfortable and cause me to ask, so Lord, what am I? A sheep or a goat? The question we have to constantly be asking ourselves. And the response here doesn't give me much help either. In fact, it makes me feel even worse. Because it doesn't say, well, Ian, it's okay, you're a sheep. Or you better change your way because you're a goat. What it says is, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of what these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. tough response, isn't it? Because we're now asking ourselves, so what have we done for Jesus or not done for Jesus? So maybe we go back to Jesus again. It's good to ask God questions, isn't it? It delays us having to do anything about the truth. So let's go back and ask another question. Okay, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison? And when did we see that and not help you? And the response from Jesus continues to disturb. Whenever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Ouch. I find myself thinking of the few donations I gave to this or that charity, the food I put into the food bank or the community projects, or the moment when maybe I have assisted someone in need. But is Jesus really suggesting I could earn my way into heaven and balance my bad deeds with good deeds? If so, maybe you, like me, will find myself on a scales that swing in an undesirable direction. And the Bible's quite clear. No one can erase their sins through their good deeds. And the Bible's quite clear that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So I'm comforted now, again, that I can only be judged by my faith in him. However, if all I had was this passage from Matthew 25 and perhaps the book of James as well, then this parable is not about separating faith from works, but about creating faith that works. It's not about separating, it's creating a faith that works. And James says, for the least of these. This is totally consistent with everything that has gone before in the Old Testament, which shows God's heart for the widows, the orphan, the hungry, and the poor, for the least of these. And the environment, God's world, which we are stewards of, does our faith and our love of the Creator affect how we deal with his creation? You may have picked up from previous sermons of mine that I love my granddaughter. And if ever you've been into the manse, you will see that proudly in our entrance area on a door to our understairs is a sign at the top saying Lucy's artwork. And blue tacked to this door underneath it, there are other brands of sticky stuff, but that we've used blue tack. Underneath the door is her artwork. And it is special. And do you know what? I am pleased to have it there. Not necessarily because it's the Picasso of the future, but she did it for me and Vicky, but don't tell her. I would not consider harming it because I love the artist. And I love God. The creator of the world in which we live. In the same way, maybe we ought to take what God has created a bit more seriously. If we love God, love His creation, all of it, the environment, that which we are leaving behind, the creation of His wildlife. Because like it or not, when we talk about not doing it for the least of these, our carelessness on the way we treat God's creation affects the most poor, the most hungry in our world. They're the ones who are living in the landfill of our waste, who are flooded because of our carelessness for God's creation. The people of Bangladesh and countries like Bangladesh that face our man-made environmental disasters. And we have played part of it. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me, says Jesus. Do we take recycling seriously? And polluting of God's earth? Do we take our care for God's environment seriously? We could talk about victims of war and greed. A friend of mine, Gareth Wilde, who was worked for BMS, is now a minister in North London, says this: on my first visit to the South Sudan was to a pastor's conference for the Baptist Convention of South Sudan. They were introducing Jesus through solid Bible teaching. Then suddenly, 1 year later, these pastors have become refugees themselves. My second visit was to watch their ministry take on a fresh dimension as they express their faith with practical love for the most vulnerable. They were now contributing to the safer pregnancies of mums using blood pressure monitors donated by BMS World Mission. They were providing food for the hungry, shelter for sustainable crops for the internally displaced. They were giving out and repairing wheelchairs for those with disabilities and mobility issues. They were not doing it to provide incentives to proselytize. They were not making rice Christians. This was an integral mission and making their faith work. I came back with a new challenge to nurture a relationship with Jesus that could show itself in humble, loving and sacrificial service to others, especially the physically and spiritually hungry. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. that uncomfortable image of sheep and goats. That uncomfortable image of judgment, which we don't like to talk about because we are saved by faith. But does our faith work? Because being a disciple of Jesus is to become more like him, isn't it? Doing the things that Jesus would do. You remember those old bracelets? What would Jesus do? That people would go around with on their arms. And yes, they were a great reminder. What would Jesus do? And I've got to ask the question, what would Jesus do about the environment? After all, it was his father's handiwork. And pollution. What would Jesus do about the hungry and the naked and those who the scripture describes as the least of these, those who are at the bottom of the pile? What would Jesus be saying to a government and a world where the poor are disposable, as long as the rich 1% can have their profit? What is our prophetic word to a world in trauma? And so, back to that uncomfortable picture for a moment. Before the judgment, what can I expect to hear from Jesus when I face him on judgment day? I hope I'll be one of the sheep that hears his voice with faith. But I ask more frequently the question, has my faith worked for others? Or has my life been mostly about me? Have I ever done anything for the least of these? Have I, when I've met with Jesus, as I walk around Romford, when I've met with Jesus, when I'm busy, too busy to stop and just run past a need, have I, when I would rather be at home doing nothing than a need that has been brought to my attention? Will I hear the words, "Well done," or maybe Jesus will be nice to me and say, "Welcome, but could have done better." Or maybe you did not clothe me. You did not feed me. You did not care for my environment, my creation. Faith needs to work. I love God. I love Jesus. The question is, do I do what he wants me to do? Amen. Let's pray. Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Because he has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. He has anointed you to care for God's world, to speak out against injustice. He has appointed you to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. He has appointed you to stand with the oppressed, the broken, the hurting. For whenever you did it with one of the least of these, you did it for him. Lord, we confess at times we have failed you. We have proclaimed you as Lord, yet lived our own way. We've given like a beggar, but lived like the rich. We've crafted ourselves a more comfortable cross. Lord, as we look at your environment and the mess that humankind has made, we confess we have been part of that story. Help us, Lord, who love you, the Creator, to love your creation, to love your people. We pray this in Jesus' name.